Morning, everybody. God is good all the time. I want to share with you this morning just a few thoughts on Mark chapter 10, if you want to turn there. It's about blind Bartimaeus. It's just something that's been on my heart from the last time I shared, which was was in Matthew 11, where I talked about the yoke of Jesus and putting the yoke. Jesus says, take his yoke upon us. And he said he'll take our burdens. And it's a continuing on of that theme where Jesus is taking things off so he can put things on. Isn't that a good thing? Jeff, you could actually take that down if you want. Because it's kind of in my way. I'm going to start jumping around here now and doing cartwheels. Thanks, man. Sorry, man. Yeah, that's better. That's much better. Yeah, so it's about Jesus taking things off to put things on. And sometimes there is a challenge for us to take things off. It's not that we just have to hear the word, but we also have to be doers of the word. And a lot of the times we can be challenged in that, in a sense that, you know, when we hear people preaching or we hear sermons, it's all about putting pressure on us and putting pressure on us to conform or to be changed to something that we don't really want to be changed into. And sometimes a lot of people, when we come into church, that you kind of put the armor up and you get ready for someone telling you to do something you don't want to be, or someone bringing you to a place where you don't want to go. And sometimes we get confused about church and we get confused about the message. That we hear that Jesus is love and Jesus wants to save us and Jesus wants to set us free. But also we kind of get confused between that Jesus also wants to put a lot of rules on me. And he wants to put a lot of law on me and a lot of condemnation and a lot of regulation. And it couldn't be further from the truth. It couldn't be further from the truth. Jesus wants to take things off us so he can put things on us. And the things he wants to put on us are beneficial for us. They're not heavy burdens. He says that he's the burden lifter. And hands up, he wants burdens to be lifted. You know what I mean? So when we enter into the presence of God, he's about lifting burdens. He's never about putting burdens on us. And so if you feel that way, that when you come into the presence of God, or when you come into the church, or when you come into ministry, that you feel burdensome, then you need to really sit down and talk to somebody, because it's the wrong mindset. It's coming from a wrong idea of God. It's coming from a wrong picture of God. It's, you know, and in some ways we're the problem. Wow, I just said it there. Let's throw it out there, get that on the podcast. In some ways we're the problem, not the gospel. You know, the truth, Jesus says the truth will set you free. You know, but if you're in the hearing of the truth and you don't feel free, well then it's not the truth that's wrong. It's the way we're receiving it is wrong. So it's up to us to change, and it's up to us to get it right. And this is what I want to share with you this morning. It's about a guy that got it right. Yeah, it's about a guy that kind of seen something, or didn't see anything really because he was blind, but seen something in his heart about Jesus. Okay? So you're with me. It's Mark 10. Verse 46, and it says, then they came to Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples got together with a large crowd were leaving in the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is, son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and said, call him. So they called the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Throwing off his cloak, now I want you to underline that. Throwing off his cloak, he jumped to his feet and he came to Jesus. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, said Jesus, your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. So straight away you have a picture of a man that his very name spoke about his life. It's Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. In other words, Bartimaeus, son of the blind man. And in other words, that there was a culture in his life, or a background or a history in life that was blind, that was a blindness. And he was bringing this blindness to Jesus. He was bringing this history. He was bringing this almost like this culture of blindness to Jesus. And you have to understand that the blindness that he had caused him to be out on the periphery of society, to be out on the outskirts, to be not in the center of society, but on the very far rims of society, where it says that as he was coming out of Jericho, there was a man and he was crying out. He was shouting out because he had to try. It's like if I'm shouting to Chris down the end of the room there, Chris, because he wasn't in the center. He wasn't with the crowd because he wasn't allowed, and because he had no one to bring him. And his blindness had caused him to be on the periphery. Now, if you read commentary and if you understand about not understanding who Jesus is, that there is a spiritual blindness in the world. There is a spiritual misunderstanding of who Jesus is that it causes, like those of us that, you know, that don't know Jesus, that they're always on the outside of anything. Now, I can testify to that myself, that before I knew who Jesus was, I was blind. I couldn't see anything on a spiritual level. And all I was doing was I was groping around the world looking for satisfaction or looking for something. Looking for something to guide me. Looking for something to give me a pathway. And it could never be found. And my spiritual blindness or my very fact that I didn't know Jesus caused me to be on the outside of anything. And caused me to be very empty. And caused me to be in a place where, you know, nothing could satisfy me. And caused me to be a beggar. And you see, there's plenty of beggars out there. It's not just, you know, he's not just talking about here going down into Dublin and looking at a poor unfortunate guy's begging. It's not like that at all. It's a spiritual begging. And spiritually we have a handout. Someone feed me. Someone give me something. Someone help me. And that's what we can be like in our world today. Is that we're looking everywhere. It might be television. It might be movies. It might be sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Who knows? But we always have our hand out to say, feed me with something. Help me. Help me to get some sort of understanding. The amount of people that I meet, and when you sit there and when you talk to them, and they have their hands out for help. And they're saying, look, I need help here. I'm broken. I'm lost. I'm angry. I'm an angry man. Or I'm a bitter person. I can't forgive people. And I'm sick of life. And I feel suicidal. And there's no hope for me. And I feel like giving up. And I'm on drugs. Or I'm drinking too much. Or my family is broken up. And my wife is throwing me out. And all that kind of stuff. And there's a burden all to put on me. And you sit there and you're trying to help these people, but the more you dig into life, you notice very quickly that there's a spiritual emptiness. And all of these problems are caused by this groping around trying to get things in life that never satisfies, to the point where they lose everything. And that's where Bartimaeus was. He was lost. He was on the outskirts. He was Bartimaeus, son of the blind man. His culture had caused him to be out on the periphery of life and going nowhere. And the amazing thing is that he heard of this man Jesus. He heard a rumor. He heard, like, there's a guy called, did you ever hear of the guy called Jesus? Yeah, well, he's been in Nazareth and he heals blind people. And he healed someone that was, you know, that was lame. There's a rumor going around that he can heal people. That's all he would have known about him. That's all he would have known about him. And all of a sudden he heard a rumor that this guy was in Jericho. And next minute he's going, walking past him. And he shouts out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Now, there's a key in that. He didn't ask for anything other than mercy. That's all he asked for, was mercy. He didn't ask for anything other than mercy. And when we come to Jesus, and when we cry out to Jesus, we must understand first and foremost who he is. And this is the beautiful picture about this guy, that he recognized that he was the son of David. And when you hear that, the son of David, it means that he's the Christ. Because that's what that term means in Jewish culture. That he believed that he was the Messiah. He believed that he was the son of David, the one that was to come, the anointed one. Whereas the crowds that were gathered around Jesus, half of them didn't believe that. Half of them were racing after him, wanting to do this miracle and that miracle. The other half were running after him, looking for food off him. The other half were just questioning him and putting him down. But here was the blind beggar out in the outskirts, believing who he was. The Christ. And it's amazing, the religious told him to shut up. The religious people told him to sit down. What would he want to do with you? And these were half these people didn't believe who he was. But the beggar believed who he was. The blind man believed who he was. And that's how we come to the Lord, in the sense that we come and we believe who he is. I've seen many people over the years that want everything that Jesus has to offer, but don't believe who he is. Honestly, you see it all the time in the church. You see, yeah, I want peace. I want freedom. I want sobriety. I want a husband. I want a wife. I want money. I want prosperity. And then when you dig a little bit deeper, you don't believe who Jesus is. Is Jesus the Christ in your life? Well, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens. But if he gives me all of that stuff, maybe. But this poor fella, he said it from the very get-go, from the very beginning. Jesus, son of David. In other words, you're the Messiah, and I have nothing. I believe in you, and I have nothing. I'm just a beggar, but I still believe in you. And that's the way we have come to Jesus, guys. We have to come to him believing who he is. Not looking for everything off him, but just believing who he is. And it's a beautiful picture, because the religious of the time and all those people that surrounded Jesus where no one could get a look in with him, they were the ones who wouldn't let this guy get in. They said, sit down. And when we're coming to the Lord, or we're seeking the Lord, guys, believe me, you, there's going to be opposition. There's going to be opposition right the way through. Every time that you go and communicate to your community, or communicate to your family, or communicate to your workplace or anything, there's going to be opposition. There's going to be opposition to the truth. There's going to be people that will say, you know, your faith is useless. Why don't you keep your mouth shut? You have nothing to say. You have no part. You have no identity. See, that's what you are saying to this man here. He says, you have no identity. What would the master want with you? Who are you? And society will try and rob our identity from us. First and foremost, they try and rob our Christian identity from us. Your faith is useless. Do you go to that mad church up there? Who do you think you are? All that kind of stuff. You get it thrown at you all the time. Well, the lesson to learn here is that it's persistence. It's that we keep pressing in. And we keep shouting. And it's amazing to me, because the more they told him to shut up, the more he starts shouting all the loud. He says, I'm not listening to you guys. Jesus, son of David. Can you imagine that picture of this man just shouting at the top of his voice, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Amazing picture. Amazing picture of the love of God in a man's heart that will not stop until Christ stops. Isn't that beautiful? He would not stop until Jesus stopped. And he did stop. And Jesus turned around and he says to him, call him over to me. And watch the hypocrisy. When you see the hypocrisy, what did God say? Cheer up. The master wants you. Huh? Instantly. Because they were all pandering to Jesus. They were all trying to get Jesus in their pocket. They were all trying to manipulate Jesus. They were all trying to go with the famous man, or to run with this guy. And they were all going to what they thought. Well, what would the master want to do with you? Oh, you want something to do with him? Oh, cheer up and get up and go to him. And that's why it's vitally important that we search Jesus on our own terms and not on a group. And not in group settings, in the sense that I'm followed by what the group says. No, we're following by what our heart says. We follow Jesus and what who he is, first and foremost. We follow Jesus in our own admission. Son of David. You're my Son of David. You're my Christ. You're my Savior. I want you. And it's vitally important that when we do leave church and we walk out of here, that we're not succumbed by pressure, by the people out there. And all of a sudden, I've had lads that said to me, I wouldn't go to that church anymore because all my family laugh at me. I'm saying to myself, no, man, that's very sad. He said, no, I can't be seen to be going to those churches because, my girlfriend, she might leave me or something like that. I've heard that before. Where people are under pressure to go to church because of the pressure that their families put on them. But it's very clear here that this man wouldn't put up with that. He said, no, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus says he called him to him. And guys, let's look at the next picture in this, because Jesus says, come to me. He says, call him to me. And he had the man in front of him. And he says, first of all, he asked for mercy. That was his main wish, that he would have mercy. And mercy is salvation. Save me. Set me free. Have mercy on me. Give me your presence, if you like. Talk to me. Let me listen to me. Call me to you. All of that is tied in with the mercy thing. Pay attention to me. Acknowledge me. Recognize me as a human being. Show me that I have an identity. That's what he was saying to Jesus. Show me that I have a part to play in my community. Show me that I'm somebody. That's all he was saying. Because other than that, I'm just a beggar sitting here with my hand out all the time. And you know what, guys? That's what everyone wants in life. It's just to be recognized. It's just to be an individual. And that's what Jesus does. He recognizes us as humans, as people that have an identity, that people that have dignity, that people that have self-respect and self-esteem. And he acknowledges that in us because he calls us to him. Not before anything we've ever done, but he says, come to me. I recognize you. I'll meet that deep inner need that every human being has to have an identity, to be individual, to have a voice. So many people nowadays, they don't know what their voice is. Their voice is what the television tells them. Their voice is what magazines tell them. Their voice is what their peer pressure tells them. Their voice is what people in their schools tell them. And they don't know who they are. And they don't know where they're going in life. And they don't know what to be doing in life. And they find it very, very hard to be an individual. But the deepest longings that we have as human beings is to be an individual. And this man appealed to Jesus. He says, recognize me. See all those people around you. I haven't got a hope for all these people around you. Will you come to me though? And it's beautiful because Jesus turned around and says, yes, come to me. He heard his voice. He says, come to me. And he had Jesus stand in front of him. And he said to Jesus, and this is an amazing thing. It says that as Jesus called him, he threw off his cloak. Now, guys, that's fairly significant. He threw off his cloak and he went to Jesus. And that's the title of this sermon, is throwing off the cloak. It's throwing off what identified him as a beggar. It's throwing off what everybody knew him to be and how everybody recognized him. And he threw it off him. And he went to Jesus with that on the ground and gone. And we have to throw things off us as we approach Jesus. We cannot keep them on us. We cannot hang on to the same old things. We have to, there has to be a faith issue. It took a lot of faith for that blind beggar to throw off something that was probably the most expensive thing he had. And the most expensive thing in his possession was the cloak that kept him warm as he begged. In other words, I'm in it for the whole lot. I'm in it 110%. I'm leaving the whole lot behind me. And I'm coming to you because I know that you're going to change me. And I know I don't need that jacket anymore. And I know that I can start to earn money and to make my own money and to buy my own jacket and to buy my new identity and to understand my new identity and to be not the blind beggar, but to be the man that is contributing. Is the man that knows this new identity, this new recognition of who he is. But he had to throw something off. I want you to get that this morning. He had to throw something off. And whatever Jesus is asking you to throw it off. Whatever thing he's saying to you, to let it go. And just, this is a challenge for me just as much as for you. Whatever he's saying, whatever Louise said about the woman that held on to unforgiveness. But she had to throw that off so Jesus could minister to her and set her free from it. And it might be unforgiveness for you. It might be bitterness. It might be bitterness that's causing you to be a beggar. It might be insecurity. I don't know. I don't know. It might go back to your past where you just hear loads of voices shouting back at your past that you're no good. But you might have to throw that off and say, no more am I listening to that rubbish anymore. It might be abuse. It might be the memory of abuse that has you sitting there in the corner with your hand in. And you can't go any further unless you throw it off. It might be addiction. It could be addiction that has you sitting there with your hand out, loss of identity, loss of dignity, loss of self-respect, the big cloak of going nowhere. You have to throw it off and come to Jesus and say, no, hold on for a minute, no more am I letting that smother me and surround me. I'm throwing it off. I'm leaving it on the ground. And that's what Jesus challenges us, every one of us, to do. See, this is sometimes people get upset with me or they get upset with a preacher that tells them to do something. But you have to do it. He says, come to me, but he says, don't come to me as a beggar. You're not a beggar anymore. There's no beggars in the kingdom. Who the Son sets free, there's no beggars in this kingdom. And we come to the Lord and as the man came to Jesus, Jesus had him stand there in front of him and he said an amazing thing. He said an absolutely amazing thing. He said, so what do you want me to do for you? And surely it's obvious what this man needed. Surely it was the most obvious thing in the world what he needed. But you know what Jesus had to say to him? What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? And you know what the amazing thing was? That man could have turned around and says, I want a new cloak. He could turn around and says, give me a few, Bob. He could have turned around and says, you know what? I just need a meal. Well, here's the amazing thing. If he was just an ordinary man, that's what he would have asked for. Are you getting it? If he was just some Joe Soap that was going through Jericho, he would have said, give me a few up. But he knew he wasn't an ordinary man. Are you getting it? He knew he wasn't an ordinary man. Because he asked him for an extraordinary thing. He asked him for the supernatural thing. So if you were walking down the street and you're walking down the street and you have a bad back for years, and your back is in bits for years or whatever, or you're feeling suicidal, and you met a fella coming out of the door and he says, how are you doing, such and such and such, is there anything I can do for you? You're not going to ask him, will you heal me back for me? Because he's just an ordinary man. You're not going to say to him, can you set me free from my addiction? Or can you set me free from my depression? You're not going to ask any ordinary person for that, are you? Because all you see is their humanness and their ordinariness. But blind man in his heart says, I'm going to ask him for everything. I'm going to go the whole hog with this. Give me my sight back. give me my sight back. I don't know if we're hearing that statement this morning. Give me my sight back. Give me my life. Give me my identity. Give me my self-respect. Give me my self-esteem back. I want to be no longer the beggar. I want to be a man. I don't want to be the son of the blind man anymore. And I don't want my kids to be son of the blind man. I'm going to break this circle. I'm going to break this oppression on me. I'm going to break this identity on me. I want something new. I want to be free. I want to be delivered. I want to be set free. And I want my future to be free. And I want my kids' future to be free. And I know that you can do it. So Jesus, give me my sight back. And guys, that's our challenge this morning. That when we have to throw something off so he can give us something. We have to throw something off so he can give us something. Now, I don't know what you need to throw off this morning. But one thing I am confident of is that he can give it, whatever you need. Now, you could come up to this prayer line, you can ask for a few bob. You can ask for the ordinary. And you can believe in the ordinary. Or you can ask for the supernatural. You can ask for the high thing. And whatever you need, according to his riches in Christ Jesus, he will give it to you. Anything you ask for, there's a statement. Anything you ask for, I will give it to you. If you need to be free from bitterness this morning, come up to the front. But don't come up with the bitterness. Whoa. Oh no, Jesus takes it from me. No. Take it off you. Take it off you. And leave it there. And then he'll set you free. If you're coming from a place of abuse, well, leave the abuse on the chair and come to Jesus and ask him to set you free from it all. But cast it off you. If you're coming from a place of unbelief, then leave it on the chair. Leave it there. And come up and ask Jesus to help you with your unbelief. But listen, guys, honestly, cast it off. Cast it off. Don't leave it there anymore. I remember when I was a young Christian, and I was getting a lot of counseling. And my counselor was trying to turn me into a place where it's called introspection, where I had to look in at myself. Whereas before I was looking at everything else, and I was blaming everything else. And it's their fault, and it's that fault, and it's this fault, and it's that fault. And all of that was causing me to be the beggar. Because I couldn't move an inch because of it. It was a prison. It was an emotional prison. And until I started to go in with it and started to let go and say, you know what, I forgive them for that. And you know what, I'm not letting that, what they said to me, it's not true, and I'm not allowing it to be true. And there was an actual letting go, step by step, bit by bit, a letting go. And the more I let go, the freer I became. The more at peace I became. And the more I stopped blaming people, the more then I started to be free. And I started to let go of all that kind of stuff in my life. And I tell you guys, it's a tremendous experience. Absolutely tremendous experience. That when we can cast off all the things that hold us down, then we can be free. And free indeed. Amen. So, the worship team want to come back. I'm going to open up the floor. And this is a really powerful mystery time where we can come up. And you're not looking at myself, or you're not looking at Louise, or you're not looking at the prayer team. You're looking at you. You're looking at your stuff. Many times we kind of get a little bit religious, you know. And all these people are terrible for religiosity. It's kind of buried in our DNA somewhere. And we go, oh, I better go up and get a touch off the guy in front. know what I mean? And let him touch me with his hand, or let her touch me with his hand. And we always kind of get all religious, and there's going to be an operation here, or something's going to happen. But the reality is, there's nothing like that at all. I have no special power or anything like that, and neither does Louise, or neither does anything. But we have the presence of the Lord in us. But what you need to come, when you're coming to the prayer line, is you come with your stuff, ready to let go of your stuff. You're not coming for us to let it go or to prize it out of your hand. Are you with me? So when that blind beggar was there, no one took that cloak off him. What does it say? He threw it off himself. He didn't have anyone to take it off him. He said to himself, I'm not going to be a beggar anymore. When I get a touch off this man, I'll be different. And I'm never going back there again. Come on. I'm never going back there again. And that's what you have to bring to the prayer line. It's faith. And a persistence. And a shouting, Jesus, have mercy on me. I'm coming to you. And a confidence that he will. Amen. So Father, we bless you for your word this morning, which is truth, gracious and holy. Father, you are the one who sets us free. You are the one who delivers us. You are the one who gives us our sight back. But Father, we must come. We must come to you, Lord Jesus. We must come in faith, throwing off all the old things. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. And we cast it off and we take him upon us. And Lord Jesus, I worship you. And I ask you, Lord, just to, as people come forward, Lord, just to touch them, Lord. Just to show them, Lord God, that you can and you will and you want to, Lord. But Lord, also show us, Lord, that we must have an act of faith where we cast off these things. And we come to you in a fresh way. And fresh, Lord, understanding that you will set us free. And we won't go back. And we let go of unforgiveness. And we let go of bitterness. And we let go of self-doubt. And we let go of the voices of the past shouting at us. And we let go of all the mistakes we made. And we let go of the condemnation. And we leave it there. And we come into a place of no condemnation. We come into a place of freedom. We come into a place where the sun sets us free. We come into a place of healing. We come into a place of forgiveness. We come into a place of grace and love and mercy. We come into a place of love and prosperity. Hallelujah, Lord. Father, let it be, Lord. In Jesus' name.